This is Tyler Traveler, and you're listening to the audio version of the book, Finding Your Smile in Hard Times, Flipping into Peace Mode When Life Gets Difficult, by Dr. Linda Traveler. Copyright 2013. Read by the author. Recorded by Moody Media Productions. The original printed book includes a workbook section. You may download the workbook for free at lindatraveloot.com under the resource tabs. Now, let's get that smile back that's been smacked off your face. Enjoy.
It's been said that pain is a part of life, no doubt. But what if you could find a way to tackle the pain without being swallowed up by it? You may never escape pain and hurt along the way. That's a given. But what if you could learn a way to make pain fade into the background? You're about to discover a way that will help you do just that. I'm going to show you how to reroute the pain in your life. No longer will it be an ever-present condition and on your mind 24/7. In fact, if you can grab onto this concept that I'm going to share with you, it will take the sting out of your present pain and also buffer any pain in your future. Soon you'll be flipping into peace mode, even when life is difficult. There are countless reasons why you may be facing pain. Maybe someone you've fallen in love with hasn't fallen in love with you, and you think life can't go on. For a while, it doesn't. Or one day, your dog doesn't come home. You call his name. Nothing. You look everywhere. He's nowhere to be found. Days pass, and you find his stiff body on the side of the road. And oh, does that sting. Or your doctor tells you that you can no longer play the sport you love. Your normal weekend plans are over. Not only do you lose the playtime, you lose the friend time with your teammates. Or a marriage ends between two people you love, and your whole world is turned upside down and inside out. How can this be? They seem to be doing okay. Now your faith in lifelong marriage is gone. Or a parent dies from cancer. Now you have the job of settling the estate and distributing their belongings amongst family and friends. This isn't how you wanted to spend your vacation. Or your spouse takes off on you and your children. Making ends meet will be almost impossible by yourself. All of a sudden, every day is a battle. How will you make it work? Or you're working in such a tension-infused environment that you can't bear it anymore. You need relief. How are you going to end the madness? Or maybe life has thrown too many curveballs at you. You're having a difficult time throwing them back. You feel like you're sinking. I'm sad to tell you that pain will be in your path. If not today, then at some point. So brace yourself. I'm not here to bring you down. I'm here to let you know that even in the face of pain, you can do something to diminish it. I heard a little story about a parakeet. Life was going great for this little guy. His existence was smooth, with all of his needs met, until the incident occurred. One minute he was sitting on his perch, and the next he was tumbling through a narrow tube until he dropped into a pile of dirt. You see, his owner had decided to clean the cage. She removed the attachment from the end of the hose of the vacuum cleaner, and she stuck the hose into the cage. Just then, the phone rang. She answered the phone, and she lost her grip on the hose. It settled right on the bird, and he was sucked away. Realizing what she had done, the bird owner dropped the phone, turned off the vacuum, and fearfully opened the bag. Thank God, the parakeet was alive, but stunned and filthy. She grabbed the bird, ran to the bathroom, turned on the faucet, and proceeded to hold him underwater. She realized that her bird was gasping for air as well as shivering, so she reached for her hairdryer, put it on high, and blasted him with hot air. The parakeet? Well, he never knew what hit him. Oh, he lived, but he never sang much after that. He just sort of sat in a daze, stunned and numb. Can you relate? If you feel like you're in a daze of pain like that parakeet, you probably don't feel like singing. I'm sure some days, you don't even feel like smiling or laughing. Pain can squeeze the joy and happiness out of your life. It can smack the smile right off your face. But listen, it doesn't have to. There will be pain, but God can buffer it for you. Do you know what happens if you place a raw egg in the palm of your hand and apply pressure all the way around it? Nothing. It will be just fine. I promise you, it will not break or it won't crack. Cool. Bet you want to run to the fridge right now and try it. Go for it. I'll wait right here. Warning, though. If you do this the wrong way, applying just a tad more pressure on one side than you do the other, you'll break the darn thing. And no, you won't have egg on your face, but it will be all over your hands and possibly the floor. I know. I've done it. Had a mess to prove it. You at times have felt crushed, I'm sure. You've felt the pressure of pain so intensely, you almost crumbled. Shoot, maybe you have crumbled. If you put yourself in God's hands, even though the pressure is great, you'll not be crushed, because He knows how to handle you. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 4:8 from the New Living Translation says, "We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed." Does this verse say we'll never be pressed by trouble? No, but when we are, we won't be crushed. Does this verse say we'll never be knocked down? No, but when we are, we'll not be destroyed. In the face of pain, this is good to know, and even better to remember. Did you know God has a guide? When trying to deal with hard stuff, we sometimes search for information that can give us answers. I truly believe and know that the Bible, God's written word, has the answers to life's questions. Most people shy away from turning to God for help when He's the one they really want to blame. After all, if God really wanted to get you out of that mess you're in, He would, right? But He hasn't, at least not yet. So you ache with not only your pain, but with the feeling that God doesn't give a rip about your situation. May I help you if you're toying with that idea? Please know, God is good, even if He doesn't seem good to you right now. Regardless of what things look like on the surface of your life, you have to believe this scripture I have right here is true for you. It's one of my favorites, and I pull it out every time I'm tempted to believe that God's forgotten about me. It goes like this: "And we know all things work together for the good of those who love God." That's Romans 8:28. When God says all things work together, He's not just talking about the good things working together for our good. All means all. All means the bad stuff, too. So you could say it like this: the good and the bad things work together for my good, because all means all. Do you know where we get into trouble? When we have expectations of how things should go and how things should be. We have our lives mapped out and expect certain things to go as we have planned. And if they don't go that way, we become miserable. Then our smile fades. Expectations can get us in trouble. When expectations are not met, we become disappointed. Disappointment makes us angry. And anger eats away at us. So who wants to be eaten alive by those monsters? No takers? Didn't think so. So if you don't want to be disappointed, revamp your expectations. If you have a book sitting on your coffee table called God Always Does It This Way, you need to trash that sucker. In case you haven't figured it out yet, God is a master at mixing it up and messing with us. When you have revamped expectations, you can honestly say, it's all good. You might be thinking, well, Linda, you must live life on easy street if you can say it's all good. No, I don't live on easy street. I could give you a list of disappointments I've faced in life. In fact, let me share just two of them for now. My mother-in-law is blind. When she comes to our house to visit, We have to make sure everything is off the floor, or she'll trip over whatever is left out. When I take her shopping, I lead her around by the hand so she doesn't walk into anything, and I don't always do a very good job of that. In fact, I run into stuff all the time, and I can see. She does a pretty darn good job taking care of herself. She lives alone in her apartment. She cooks. She gets around. I marvel at her outlook on life. She didn't sign up for blindness. She thought she would always have sight. Yet as a result of her difficulty, she's taught me so much. She may never see again until she gets to heaven. She lives in the dark 24/7. She can no longer see the faces of her grandchildren. She can't tell what's on her plate unless she sticks her finger in it. Sometimes she can't tell if her blouse is on inside out. And there have been times her pants have been on backwards. But you know what? I have never heard her complain about her blindness. I've only heard her give praise to God. She loves to say, "God's good," all the time. She has better eyes than I do, because she sees the good in dark places. She's taught me to enjoy life even when it's difficult, even when it's downright tough. Guess that's a good thing, because my husband Ted was born without ears. Well, not exactly. He was born without any inner structure to his ears, which means no eardrums or ear canals. Today, as an adult, he's still hearing impaired. Thankfully, he now has a great high-tech hearing aid, but when we first got married, 2 decades ago, it was hard to communicate with him. There were instances when I had to repeat myself 3 and 4 times until he got what I was saying. Every day, every time we talked, every conversation was repeated over and over and over again until he totally understood what I was saying. That's draining and takes a lot of work, but we never complained. How could that be good? Let me just list a couple of reasons. We've learned to communicate in very subtle ways. A look, a glance, a blink, a slight motion. No one else would ever pick up on it, not even our kids. We've got our own language, our own communication thing going on. Another good thing that's come out of his hearing impairment is that it has changed me. I never thought of myself as impatient, but I guess I was. God used Ted's lack of hearing to work that out of me. Oh, I've come a long way, but I still have a ways to go. There were many, many, many times over the last 21 years of marriage that I've wanted to scream, shout, and give up talking to him. Not because I was mad at him, but just because he didn't get what I was saying. Imagine trying to share on a heart-to-heart level your most intimate thoughts with someone who couldn't hear you say anything. I'm happy to report my patience level has bumped up a few notches. See, there is some good that has come out of his hearing impairment. Yeah, it stinks that he can't hear that well. But know what? All things work together for our good, because we love God. Finding our smile during the hard times comes back to our perspective on life. Do we really trust God? Do we really believe that God is good, even when bad things happen to us? I want you to know, God is good all the time, even when times are tough. God is good, even when it doesn't seem like God is being good to us. Like you, I'm no stranger to pain and suffering. I've faced seasons of depression, and I've had tough times. At one point, I considered taking my own life. I could share more stories about hard times I've faced that include loss and loved ones taken away, betrayal, relationships that ended, opportunities taken away, and more. Like you, I've tasted the agonizing journey called disappointment. And even in the midst of pain, yes, right smack dab in the middle of it, I learned how to smile again. I can't tell you I've got it all figured out, but I know God does. Here are a couple things to take away from this section. First of all, revamp your expectations. And secondly, list some ways that God has made good out of your tough times. You're not alone. You may not know anyone going through the same exact situation you're in right now, but I want you to know, there are people all over the globe that are going through hard times just like you. We're talking deep pain, deep doo-doo. You have company there in the mire. I heard the story of two children who went camping with their father up to Mount Rainier. Caught in a blizzard, they frantically dug a snow cave that would shelter them from the cold for the night. In the morning, when the kids woke up, they found their father lying protectively across the face of the cave, frozen to death. Yes, frozen. Their lives were changed that day. I got a call one time about a man who committed suicide. He hung himself. He had a son, 15 years old, who now comes home every night to live with the pain and loss of his dad. His life was changed forever. How do you think this kid will live with the pain? If you're in a place like these folks were in, or if you want to prep for a dark day that might appear, this is what you can do to lessen the pain. Distract yourself. Studies show that people can endure 45% more pain if they are distracted. If I said, in just a moment I'm going to hit you with 250 grams of pressure, you would feel a certain amount of pain. But if you are watching a movie and I increase the thump of my punch by 47%, you wouldn't notice. You'd be able to handle the increase in pain because you were distracted. Need a little escape from your pain? Distract yourself. I used to swim every day. I never missed. That's how I worked out. I didn't need a gym. The pool was my exercise field. I swam when it was warm. I swam when it was raining. And I swam when it was cold. Even in the dead of Florida's winter. Stop laughing, it does get cold here in Central Florida. I put on a wetsuit, sucked it up, and jumped in. Even when it was 20 degrees Fahrenheit. Yep. Even when there was frost on the ground and frost on the roof. During the winter, there were days I would come in from a swim and my body took a good hour to stop shivering. My daughter Tiffany would join me once in a while in the pool. She's a pretty brave gal, though she does have her limits. One incredibly cold morning, she decided she was going to swim with me. She put her feet in for a few minutes and said, "Nope, can't handle it." She blurted, "Mom, how do you do this? How can you stand the cold?" I said, "Here's how I do it. I choose not to think about the cold. I choose not to think about how uncomfortable it's going to be. I distract myself from the discomfort by focusing on the good it's doing for my body. If I stand on the edge of the diving board, ready to jump in, and all I think about is how cold it is, I'll never jump." What did I have to do? Distract myself. Distraction is my own little mini vacation from the discomfort. So when you are knee-deep in the tough stuff of life and you need an escape, distraction works. Every once in a while, my husband notices a bruise on my leg or my arm or somewhere else, and he asks, "How did you get that bruise?" It's crazy, but I usually can't remember. He comes back with, "Well, how can you get such a bad bruise and not remember?" It's because I'm usually trucking along going 100 miles an hour. I'm so focused on other things that when I bump into something, it doesn't faze me. You too might have a bruise, but that doesn't mean you have to feel the pain. I'm not saying you have to deny your pain. You need to recognize the pain in your life and process it. So talk about it, cry about it, deal with it, but don't dwell on it. Don't camp out there. Pain does not have to eat you up. It doesn't have to consume you. You can escape it by distracting yourself. Thinking about other things will get your mind off of what aches. It may not go away completely, but I guarantee it will begin to fade into the background. And this will make your life much more bearable. It will probably make you more pleasant to be around, too. Another warning. Distracting yourself with unhealthy things to numb the pain can lead to greater pain. Addictions, eating binges, sleeping your time away, and other unhealthy coping methods can send you down a darker and even more painful path. So how do you distract yourself in a healthy way? Glad you asked. Let me tell you two proven ways. First, read God's thoughts. It sure would be nice to know why God's got you in the pickle you're in, or why he allowed that tough situation you had to face. I bet there are tons of questions you'd like to ask him. Wouldn't it be cool to get inside God's head. Scripture tells us that there's no way we can comprehend God's thoughts. But reading His Word, the Bible, will give you insight into how He thinks. Read what He wrote. Read the Bible, and you'll gain entrance into the very thoughts of God. You might be wondering how you can believe something that was written so long ago. Scripture says God does not change. What He wrote in His Word is still fresh and relevant, hot off the press, every time you lay eyes on it. Colossians 3:2 from the Message says, "Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what's going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from His perspective." In other words, the Bible is saying, hey, distract yourself. 2 Corinthians 4:18 from the New Living Translation says, "We don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze, we focus on things that cannot be seen, heavenly things, God things." In other words, distract yourself. Philippians 4:6 from the New Living Translation says, and this is the formula for peace and calm. Take advantage of it. It says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ." So in other words, distract yourself. Here are some examples of how you can put this distraction technique to work. If you're thinking, my life is falling apart, well, okay, maybe it is, but distract yourself with Psalm 37:23. It says, "The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand." If you fall, hey, it's never too late to get back up. The only reason some people don't get back up is because they refuse to. You can put your life back together. God is ready to reach down, take you by the hand, and make it happen. Distract yourself with this verse, and it'll encourage you as you're getting your life back in order. No one loves me. I'm a mistake. If this idea is running rampant through your head, distract yourself by thinking about what David says in Psalm 139. Here, the psalmist writes on behalf of all of us. He says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God." Chew on that scripture for a few days, and you will begin to realize you are planned before the beginning of time. No baby is ever mistakenly born under God's watchful eye or outside of His plan. If you're here, you were meant to be. Here's another thought. "My life stinks." Whoa, that one's rolled off my tongue more than once. When you're there, distract yourself with this verse, Psalm 84:11. "The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right." Good things are coming your way. Wait, wait, wait for it. Here's another thought. "I can't do this." Yes, you can. Distract yourself with what the Bible says in Philippians 4:13. "I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." That's you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So get a grip. You can do this. Here's another thought. "I'm in danger." Say it ain't so, because it's not. Not if you distract yourself and truly believe this scripture found in Psalm 34:7. "For the angel of the Lord is a guard, He surrounds and defends all who fear him. So just imagine those big angels surrounding and protecting you. They're on guard. How about this thought? No one likes me. Everyone's against me. It may feel like everyone's against you, but distract yourself with Proverbs 16:7. When people's lives please the Lord, even their enemies are at peace with them. How about, I have failed and I have no future? Digest this nugget from Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. If you're thinking, I have no hope, get this into your heart from Romans 15:13. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. By distracting yourself with God's word, you'll be pumping hope into your life. Replacing your pain-soaked thoughts with scripture will bring you relief. This will help you flip over into peace mode. So here's a couple of action steps. Distract yourself by reading over the scriptures that I've read to you. Distract yourself by reading other scriptures that also pertain to your situation. Another thing you can do to distract yourself is to meditate. Scripture talks about meditating on God's word. Why? Its benefits are life-changing because Scripture is life-giving. Talk about a superfood for the spirit. Open up the Bible and you've found the mother lode. It's a spiritual superfood that'll make you strong. Spiritually strong and emotionally strong. How can you pass that up? Psalm 1, 2-3 talks about those who meditate on God's word. It says, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit in each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. Proverbs 4, 20-22 shows how letting God's word sink deep into your being can heal you. It says, my child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Meditating on God's word brings healing to your situation, your body, your spirit, and your emotions. Something happens when we drench ourselves in God's thoughts. It is so powerful that it can even change our appearance. I think I look better today in my mid-40s than I did in my mid-20s. Why? It's not because I've had Botox or a facelift, that's for sure. It's because over the years I've learned how to press peace into my crazy, frenzied world by applying scriptures to my life every day. And it shows on my face. Get God's word in you, and it'll change you from the inside out. Do you think meditation is something only monks and mystics do? I bet you it's something you already do, too. In fact, even your neighbor next door meditates. Meditation is simply thinking about something. The question is, what are you meditating on? What do you find yourself thinking about? Let me ask you, do you know how to worry? If you can worry, you can meditate on God's word. To meditate means to think about something over and over, letting it simmer in your mind. When you meditate, you're reflecting on something from different angles until it becomes part of you. Set some time aside. Rather than using time to think about your present problem, use that thinking time to meditate on scripture that pertains to your problem. Meditate on God's thoughts, not your thoughts. And as you do, your smile will appear and peace will pour into your heart. Memorizing scripture is important too. It's a part of keeping your mind focused on Christ. Memorization can be a scary thought, though, for many people. Maybe you're good at this. Most of us aren't. You might have happy memories of studying for school tests. You looked at something once and it became lodged inside your brain. Not you? You find memorizing hard work? Join the club. Are you one of those people who have a hard time finding your car in the parking lots? And it takes you two or three attempts to get your child's name right? And you only have one child? I'm right there with you. Sometimes I forget how old I am. Relax. The point of memorizing scripture is not to see how many verses you can memorize. The value of it is what happens to your mind in the process of repeating scripture. When you are rehearsing statements from scripture, you're having different thoughts than you would be if you were thinking about your pain. Let me give you an example. Think about this scripture. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15:13. Now listen to that scripture again. I'm going to read it slowly. Let it sink into your thoughts. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. When I think about that single statement, I'm reminded that God is the source of all hope. He is filling my body with not just a tiny bit of joy and peace, but all joy and peace. He wants me to have more than a little hope. He wants me to have hope that overflows. This process doesn't depend on my power. It's the power of the Holy Spirit working in me. As you are right now thinking about that scripture, your mind is having different thoughts than it would be if you were consumed with your problems. With your mind fixed on God, you're distracted from your pain. You can do this. Look, you are distracting yourself. Good job. You're succeeding at flipping over into peace mode. Hope does not just lift our spirits. It actually has healing power. In one study, 122 men who had suffered their first heart attack were evaluated on their degree of hopefulness and pessimism. Of the 25 most pessimistic men, 21 had died 8 years later. Of the 25 most optimistic, only 6 had died. Loss of hope increased the odds of death more than 300%. It predicted death more accurately than any medical risk factor, including blood pressure, amount of damage to the heart, or cholesterol level. That information's from John Ortberg's book, If You Want to Walk on Water, You've Got to Get Out of the Boat. Our ability to live in hope, to be distracted from pain, and to remain focused on Christ during the tough times is largely dependent on what we feed our minds. Feeding our minds God's Word is how we can focus on the Savior rather than the storm. Joel Osteen tells the story of a gymnast from Great Britain who, in her training for the 2008 Olympic Games, was trying to complete a particularly difficult move on the uneven bars. Here's an excerpt from his book about the story. Her coach explained it to her, and she attempted to follow his instructions. She tried over and over, but she was unable to master the move. Her coach wisely called a halt to the practice and suggested that she step back and practice the move in her mind. She spent 30 minutes just looking at the uneven bars, again and again imagining herself completing each step perfectly. When the coach finally called for her to try once again, she stepped up confidently to the uneven bars and succeeded on her first attempt. One explanation is that scientists have discovered that muscle memory can be created not only by performing a physical act, but also by visualizing yourself doing it. The same is true in the spirit realm. If there is an area of life where you are in pain or struggle, your marriage, your health, your finances, wherever you may be having difficulty, see yourself succeeding. Stop focusing on the problem and start visualizing the victory. In other words, distract yourself. Isaiah 26:3 from the New Living Translation says this: "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." It all depends on where your mind stays. Do you want your mind to stay on your pain? No? Then what must you do? Distract yourself. Do it, and your pain will diminish. The second thing you can do to distract yourself from your pain is to focus on other people. It'll help you to think about someone other than you. The reason this works is simple. It gets your mind off of you. Here are some ideas on how you can switch gears. When you have a knockdown, drag-out fight with a friend, think about someone who doesn't even have a friend. When you hate the shape your house is in, or the fact that it's too small, think of the homeless person who sleeps in the woods behind the gas station. When your car breaks down, think of the paraplegic who would love to walk to the store. When you're hurt by family members, because sometimes they're just plain stupid, think of someone who has no family around and they're all alone. When you aren't able to go out to the mall or to the movies, think of someone who has a terminal illness and who would give anything to just get out of their hospital room and feel the sun. Thinking about others is another great way to distract yourself, because in addition to helping you, it helps someone else. That's most assuredly a win-win. Christopher Reeve, the actor who starred in the Superman films, was a very active guy in real life. He even did some of his own stunts in his movies. But Reeve's life was drastically changed when his horse stopped at a jump during an equestrian competition. Because his hands were wrapped in the reins, he couldn't put them out to break his fall. The accident left Reeve paralyzed from his face down. He went from performing high-risk stunts, like skiing and sailing and riding horses, to being strapped into a wheelchair. Reeve, though paralyzed, got his mind off his pain and the fact that he would never live a normal life by pouring the rest of his life into helping others with similar physical limitations. How did he live with the pain? He distracted himself by focusing on other people. Christopher Reeve put this distraction technique in motion. Helping others resulted in helping himself. There was a man in our church who was extremely disgruntled with life. He was disappointed with God and himself. He'd been highly successful at one time, but through a series of events, he lost his career, he lost his wife, his children, his home, and his entire life savings. He had nothing left. He was forced to live out of his car, alone and alienated. As you can imagine, he was deeply depressed. He didn't know where his next meal or even his next shower was coming from. He said, "I'm down and out, but I will learn from this experience. I'm trusting that God is going to turn this around and use it for my good and for the good of others." Then he asked me a question that turned everything around for him. "How can I help in this church? How can I use my skill sets to encourage people? What can I do for others in need?" I suggested he take a lay minister's course that we offered. He committed to a 9-month program of study to care for people in crisis. After graduating, he would be assigned to people who need help getting out of the mess they are in. He took the course. He also started doing anything and everything he could around the church. He served in the choir, he helped put the Christmas musical set together, and he also helped in the parking lot. Though he was still living in his car, still estranged from his family, he still reached out to others. Not less than a year later, this guy found a great job, got back with his wife and children, and they quickly acquired a house. But take note, how did he get through the dark days? He distracted himself by focusing on others. He practiced this verse in Psalm 37, 3 through 5. It says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Live in the land and feed on truth. Enjoy serving the Lord, and he will give you what you want. Depend on the Lord, trust him, and he will take care of you." Do what? In times of difficulty, hide in your car and sing the blues? No. Trust in the Lord and do something. Do good. As you do, feel your pain diminish and even fade away. There's a sweet promise in the Bible for those who extend themselves to others when they are going through hard times. We're talking a huge return on investment here. This verse says it will bring us into a quicker state of healing. It's from Isaiah 58, verses 6 through 8. "Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free, and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry, and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them, and do not hide from relatives who need your help. Then your salvation will come like the dawn, and your wounds will quickly heal." There was a lady who was diagnosed with terminal cancer, and after she got out of the hospital, she could have easily sunk into a deep, dark pit of sadness and depression, but she didn't. She didn't stay focused on herself. She didn't constantly dwell on her sickness. In her time of greatest need, in the darkest hour of her life, she went to church and she prayed for other people who were sick or in need. She wanted a healing, and so she sowed seeds of healing. And just as the scripture says, as she began to help others, her own healing came. Every week I get a list of prayer needs from the people in our church. Sometimes as I'm reading that list, my heart breaks. I wonder what God would do on someone's behalf if they would take the time to say, "Hey, can I have a copy of that prayer list every week? I want to pray for people in need." What do you think God's going to do for a person like that? Distract them from their pain? Yes. And bigger than that, heal them from their pain. If we can get our minds off of our own problems and begin to help others, not only will it distract us from our pain, but bonus, it will speed up our pain removal. I've experienced this myself. I know it works. I've had dark days that seemed like would last forever. You know the kind. Everything was coming down on me. As I mentioned earlier, I've been depressed, even to the point of wanting to take my own life. But in my pain, I learned to make an effort to reach out to somebody in need. And when I did, I felt better. It's guaranteed. Take me up on this idea. Reach out to someone who isn't as bad off as you are. Reach out to someone who has it even better than you do. Maybe make a hospital visit to someone. Pray with someone on the phone. Or encourage someone whose marriage is falling apart. You know what that will do for you? Number one, it will get your mind off of your problems. And number two, it plants a seed in your life that you will reap. You can't lose. Distract yourself. Do you see the benefit of distracting yourself from your pain? Jesus used this very same distraction technique at his lowest point in life. Jesus died the most horrendous type of death ever recorded in history. The pain he went through was unthinkable. The most accurate description would not be enough to fully help you understand his ordeal on the cross. It was the most evil, sadistic death plot ever conceived. How do you think Jesus was able to endure the pain? I'll tell you. While he was dying painfully on the cross, he wasn't thinking about his pain. He was thinking about yours. Let that soak in. He distracted himself from his pain. Rather than focus on his difficulty in the hardest, most traumatic time of his life, he placed his thoughts somewhere else. His thoughts were on you. If Jesus distracted himself, you can too. Here's my prayer for you. I pray right now this helps you turn a corner. I ask God at this moment to begin to cover you with peace in the midst of your pain. As you fix your thoughts on God, you are beginning to gain more and more peace in your life. As you distract yourself with the life-changing Word of God, you are escaping your pain. And as you begin to go about helping others, you feel relief and healing in your present situation. You are flipping into peace mode, even though life is difficult. Your smile is appearing, even in the hard times. You now have two proven ways that will allow you to live with pain, but not feel its strongest bite. You are going to find your smile in hard times, and you're going to be flipping into peace mode even when life is difficult. Got difficulty? Get distracted. I've included some exercises in the workbook section of this book that you can do today to begin distracting yourself. You can download a copy of it by going to my website at lindatravolute.com and click on the resource tab. If you're interested in having me speak at your next event, church service, or provide a workshop or seminar, you can go to my website and click on the speaking tab. There you'll get helpful information about the topics I discuss, the things I can present to your group or congregation. You'll also see recommendations and some short video clips of me speaking in action. Now stay tuned for some bonus audio material.
Now get ready for some bonus audio material called What's in it for you when things go bad by Dr. Linda Travolute, copyright 2012, read by the author.
Ever tried to find the silver lining behind a cloud? It's not easy, is it? Especially those really dark clouds that seem to hover over you everywhere you go. Sometimes it seems like you just can't get out from under them. Every stinking step you take is shrouded with bad times. When circumstances go upside down on you and you're disappointed with life, it would help if you could see the good in the bad stuff. Take a few minutes with me here, and I'll show you how to uncover the good behind the bad. Good behind the bad? Yeah. First, let me tell you how I know that there's good behind everything that's bad. There's a verse in the Bible that goes like this. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. That's Romans 8:28. Okay, so if this verse guarantees that there is good behind the bad, how come you and I can't see it? Let's figure this out. There's a question you need to ask. What's in it for you? When someone wants to make a deal with you, you might say, well, what's in it for me? You loan me your car because mine has a flat tire. You might be thinking in the back of your mind, what's in it for me? Answer? Maybe someday I'll let you borrow a few bucks when you need it. We're usually always wondering, what's in it for me? And I want you to know, it's okay to ask God that question when bad stuff happens. Because if all things work together for the good, then there must be something in it for you. One time I took a yummy whole grain chocolate chip cookie out of a box, popped it in my mouth, started chewing, until I looked down at the rest of the cookie and saw tiny little bugs crawling all over it. They were crawling out of the little holes, nooks, and crannies. It was nasty. I ran over to the sink and I spit the cookie out. Not only did I see cookie bits hurled into the sink, but I also saw bugs that were spewed into the sink. You better believe the next thing I did was wash my mouth out. Disgusting! The cookie box was full of bugs called pantry pests that sometimes come home from the store with you. So I'm standing there in the kitchen thinking, all right now, if all things work together for the good of those who love God, then what's in this bug-infested cookie experience for me? This is the first thing you need to do, too. Ask God, what's in this for me? Not too long ago, Buffalo Bills receiver Steve Johnson dropped the winning touchdown in a game. He caught it, had his hands in the end zone, then dropped it. That was definitely a bad day for Steve. Johnson couldn't get over it. He said he was devastated for his teammates. Sadly, he also wallowed in self-pity. Not a good move, Stevie boy. It got more pathetic later, when Johnson wrote this to the people who follow him on Twitter. His tweet said, and he was really talking to God, I quote, "I praise you 24/7, and this is how you do me? You expect me to learn from this? How? I'll never forget this. Ever. Thanks, though." End quote. Wow. He was talking to God, saying that there can't possibly be anything good in this. Sad. I wish he was here listening to this, so we could show him how to look at his disappointment. When we are hit square in the face with something difficult, what we need to do is say, what's in this for me? In other words, what can I learn from this? What can this produce in me? How will this benefit me or others? Maybe Steve Johnson's failed touchdown can be worked for our good because we can learn how to not handle a letdown. You may have heard me talk about my husband who was born without ears. Well, he did have outside ears, just not anything on the inside of his ears. No eardrums, no ear canals, which means, of course, that he's hearing impaired. After multiple surgeries and reconstruction, he can hear, but not like normal. He has a supersonic hearing aid now, but there were times when it was hard to communicate with him. Honestly, it would have been easier to give up. I've had to repeat myself 3 and 4 times until he got what I was saying. Imagine saying, "Can you pass the butter?" over and over again. That's tiring, and it takes a lot of work. But we never complain. You might be asking, what good can come out of that? I'll tell you. We've learned to communicate in very subtle ways. A look, a glance, a blink, a slight motion. No one else would ever pick up on it. Not even our kids. We've got our own language, our own thing going on. There's good that has come out of it. Yeah, it stinks that he can't hear that well. But know what? It's all good because there's something in it for us. 1 Corinthians 4:17 and 18 from the New Living Translation says this, "We have small troubles for a while now, but they are helping us gain an eternal glory that is much greater than the troubles. We set our eyes not on what we see, but on what we cannot see. What we see will last only a short time, but what we cannot see will last forever." Here is the same passage paraphrased in the Message. So we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside, it often looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside, where God is making new life, Not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times. The lavish celebration prepared for us. There's far more here than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today, gone tomorrow. But the things we can't see now will last forever. Deciding that it's all good comes back to your perspective on life. Do you really trust God? Do you really believe that God is good, even when bad things happen to you? If you have eyes to see the good, then yes, you really can believe this, even if there's no good to come out of it right now. There will be good that comes out of this in the future. It all comes down to how you explain the things to yourself. Ready to have a little training on how to talk to yourself? You have a way of explaining things to yourself when something occurs. It's that little conversation that takes place on a subconscious level. And the way you explain things depends on your perspective. Let's look at some examples of what could be going on inside your head. Let's just pretend you're at the movies, waiting for your date. You were supposed to meet at 6:30 sharp, but 45 minutes later, your date is a no-show. At some point, you need to explain to yourself why. You might say to yourself, "He stood me up," causing you to be ticked. Or you might jump to conclusions, "She doesn't care about me anymore," causing you to be hurt. You could think, "He was in an accident," causing you to feel anxious. You might think, "She's working overtime so that she can pay for our movie," causing you to be grateful. Naive, but grateful. You might think, "He's stopping at the florist on the way so he can bring me flowers," causing you to think sweet things. You might think, "She's with another guy," causing you to feel jealous. Or you might think, "This gives me the perfect excuse to break up with her," causing you to feel relieved. Same situation, very different explanations. How you explain things to yourself when something goes wrong will determine whether or not you can see the good in every situation. I could say, "My husband being born without ears makes life extremely difficult for him and his family." Or I could explain it like this. "My husband was born without ears, and as a benefit, his wife and kids have learned great patience and know how to communicate beyond words." So let me ask, how are you going to explain your next big problemo? Joseph in the Bible was treated so wrongly. He was falsely accused of rape and sold as a slave. He could have come up with all kinds of explanations for why things weren't going his way. "God has forsaken me. God is angry with me. God has forgotten me. God has given up on me." But Joseph looks in the rearview mirror and he reflects on all the crap, the unfair treatment, the betrayal, and all the pain. And he says to his brothers, the same brothers who faked his death and sold him into slavery, in Genesis 50:20, he says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Joseph explained it by saying, "It's all good." I've learned a lot of things from tough times that prepared me for my future. I had a boyfriend in college that cheated on me. Not only did he cheat on me, he cheated on me with one of my friends. Ouch. Yes, I was heartbroken. Though it burned, I was determined to find the silver lining in that dark cloud. So I asked, what was in it for me? Here's what I got. I learned how to deal with betrayal the right way. I also experienced God being there for me as I hurt deeply. I learned how to forgive someone who didn't deserve to be forgiven. And I walked through the painful process of letting go. Good stuff came out of a bad situation. When my grandmother was dying from cancer, We moved her into our house and took care of her until she died. We endured the process of watching her shrivel up and wither away. I had to get up 2 and 3 times a night to take her to the bathroom. I was sleep-deprived. Not good timing, as I was going to postgraduate school working on my doctoral degree. I desperately needed sleep. I worked all day, took post-grad classes at night, studied every spare minute I had, all this while helping to care for her. It was a tough year. But what was in it for me? I learned how to push through exhaustion and keep going. It toughened me up. I spent some incredibly precious moments with her during her last days, and I learned how to give of myself unselfishly. It was no longer all about me, my schedule, my needs. It was about her and what she needed. I learned how to give more. Good stuff came out of bad stuff. If you love God and live for Him, when you have something bad happen to you, you can trust that God is going to make it work together for your good. Everything that happens to you will benefit you in some way. You just have to be willing to see it and ask the big question, what's in it for me? Let me clarify a few things about this idea that all things work together for good. Number one, the Bible doesn't say that everything that happens is good. It says God can work it into something good. Secondly, the Bible doesn't promise that we'll always see the good right away. I'm still wondering what good will come out of eating those cookies full of bugs. Thirdly, God can bring a good that we don't recognize. And fourthly, God doesn't say that He'll bring good out of bad for everybody. Only those who love God and are called according to His purpose. That means for Christians who are genuinely walking with God. God had tough things happen to Him too. God's son died. In fact, God's son was murdered. Jesus had tough things happen to Him. Jesus was tortured, and then He was killed. But I know that all of that bad stuff happened for your good. There was something in it for you. The situation? Jesus was killed. What was in it for you? It gave you the way to be forgiven and saved from hell. Hebrews 4, from the Message, says this. Now that we know what we have, Jesus, this great high priest with ready access to God, let's not let it slip through our fingers. We don't have a high priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing, experienced it all but the sin. So let's walk right up to Him and get what He is so willing to give. Take the mercy, accept the help. See, God knows about tough stuff, and He can help you. So the next time something bad happens to you, ask, what's in it for me? Because if you'll look, you will see the good in bad things. Here is a prayer that you can pray. God, help me today to have a new way of explaining the bad things that happen. Help me to ask You, what's in it for me? Help me to trust You with my life, knowing in the end, it's all good. I hope you've enjoyed these two books, Finding Your Smile in Hard Times, and the bonus section, What's in It for You When Things Go Bad. I'd love for you to join me on my weekly podcast. You can find it in the iTunes directory. It's called Soul Fitness Made Easy with Dr. Linda Travolute. It's all about pushing your faith beyond belief. And hey, it's got nothing to do with religion or rules. If you're looking for freedom, if you're looking to find out what grace is really all about, join me every week. Talk to you soon.